hear about. His name's Robbie, and he's going to have to help me with a computer. Okay, they're just switching over. Wonderful. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Nice to be here again. Lots of us are on holiday and doing traveling, coming back. I see guys have come back from the August. They're all here. Quentin is here. Back in one piece. Trust it went well. Others came up and were visiting and watching. But it's all good. And it was wonderful having Wayne and Renee last week. We really had wonderful, wonderful input from them. Today what we do is we heard the theme that was coming through and what the Lord is saying to us. And I think one thing he's saying is there's this call and there's this river and there's this filling up that God wants to do. And I think today what I really want you to do is just to listen where you are and what God's word says. Because one of the prophetic words that sort of came out is we are like a glass and we get a river and we need to fill ourselves up with something in order to give it to the world. And Jesus has got the words and the teaching that shows us what we are called to do. So today's message is called Rising Up to the Call. I think there's a time and an urgency when the Lord is asking us to rise up to the call. We need to understand what the call is and what Jesus has done so that we can go and rise up to this call. So the scripture that the key scripture, is it moving? Is not moving? Whilst you got your Bibles in the meantime, can you just turn to Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23? Thanks, Robbie. What I'd like you to do, and that's why it's always good, and I think one thing that Wayne said last week, he said it's so wonderful when he says, can you turn to your Bibles, and he actually sees a church at okay, sorry, we don't have power, so we are just, we're feeling our way through. But we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lynn. So Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, there's certain words you're going to highlight. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, okay? Last time I preached, I used the New King James. So I'm working my way down, and I'll get to the NIV, I promise you, because most of you are on the NIV, but I've got to work my way down there. Only joking. I will get some NIV when I go. So I just felt that the ESV just brought out the scripture so well. So the key scripture is Ephesians 1, 22 to 23. And he, God the Father, put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. So underline all things. Not some things, not part. Jesus has been given head over all things to the church, you and I. Here we are. We are the church. There's a broad church. We are one church, but we are also a church, which is his body. Okay? And then it says, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I just want us just to get a quick revelation of what that scripture says. It says, he's head over the church, which is his body, you and I, and the church is the fullness of him. Amen? So we as the church represent the fullness of Christ into this world. So we really need to rise up to the call. Okay? Christ is relying on you and I as the church to represent him in his fullness. So, which reminded me of a story. I was reading a story about a great general, and it's a true story. I can't remember which general it was. I think it was an American general, and they had a problem. They were in battle, and he had a platoon that was engaging into battle in a very strategic position. And what was happening is he had some leaders in that area who were not gaining ground. And they were being defeated and they were pushing back. And this was a very strategic position for them to win the battle and ultimately win the war. So this general himself went down there and visited this area where they were in battle. And what he did is he got the leaders into the room and he asked them what the plan was. He looked at the plan, he looked at their strategy, and he said, what is the plan? When they showed him the plan, he saw it was probably the only strategy they could do, but it had very little chance of success. And this was the problem. So he called all the leaders in, one by one, and he spoke to them. And he asked each leader, what do you think of the situation? And they gave them his perspective, their perspective. And then what he did is every leader that was negative or didn't believe that they could fulfill the assignment, he took off the team. He only kept a handful of leaders who said, we believe that we can accomplish this task. And he worked with them. Then he got a few other leaders that were in the crowds and he brought them in. People who believed that they could do what they set out to do. And they went to war and they won the war. These guys were less skilled and less equipped than the negative leaders. But because they were positive and they believed in the ultimate goal and they believed in the purpose that they were going to fight for, and they were positive, they won the war. Amen. And I'm asking, how many of us have got negative or don't believe anymore that the ultimate goal that Jesus started for us is going to be ushered in? Some of us have got negative and have forgot that Jesus has started something that he will fulfill. And guess what? We are the ones he's called to fulfill it. So this is an amazing true story about an amazing leader. See, a leader you can believe in can make all the difference. We have such a leader in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate leader. And like Joshua and Caleb, they believed that Israel could go into the promised land. But 8 of them didn't. And God had to take them all around there until that whole generation had died out, and then he took them in, and only Joshua and Caleb went in. So don't be the negative person that has to wait and miss out in what God is doing for us and doing for the world. So I want to talk about this amazing leader, Jesus Christ. Our leader is great, and he is amazing. So I think Thora touched on it, I was out, but we're very blessed to have my daughter and our son-in-law, Nikita and Darren, with us. And they visited us for a few days from Cape Town. And of course, we got the newest addition to our family, Carter, little baby Carter. I don't know where he is. I think he's at the back. But he's only a couple of weeks old. And Nikita was, I think, 2 days ago. He had a bit of cramps, and she brought him to me, and it was early in the morning, and I was lying in bed with him, and I laid him down next to me, and he was battling, and he had all his cramps, and I was just, speaking to him, and then I put my hands on him, and I started to pray for him, and I was just praying, and just going through the prayers, and asking God to take the cramps away, and then I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, love him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love him. But then the thought crossed my mind, why do I think Jesus loves him? It crossed my mind. Here I was saying, Jesus, you love him. And it brought me to the place to think, but why, Jesus, do you love him? And I had to think about it. And it's so easy. Sometimes, we go to people and we say, Jesus loves you. Or do we know why Jesus loves that person? Yeah, Jesus loves you, and he does. And I can't understand all of it, and I will never understand it. I will never grasp the fullness of it. But Jesus does love us. But it was good to ponder why I was saying, Jesus, why do you actually love him, and why do you love me, and why do you love the world? You see, because if I don't fully understand it, and I don't understand why Jesus loves me, how can I tell anyone why he loves you? I can only give away what I have. And I had to think about it and say, Jesus, I actually need to think about this. Why do you love me? And why do you love Carter? And whilst I was waiting on him, I said, show me this love. He took me to another scripture. Colossians 16, verse 17. And this is quite an amazing scripture. This is where the Lord led me to help me through this. And it says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Amen. We are created by Jesus for him. And I realized that little Carter was created by Jesus for Jesus. And that's why he loves him. Incredible. So just read your Bibles, by him, all things, through him, and for him. So you and I are created by Jesus, and we are created for him. You see, he didn't just inherit us. We weren't passed on to him. We're not just an assignment for him. He created us for him, and he loves us. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14, says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Isn't that wonderful? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we search deep enough, your soul will know the love of Jesus, because he formed you, fashioned you, and created you. So this leader of ours, he truly loves us. He's great and magnificent and powerful and worthy. But the amazing thing is, he believes in us. He believes in us, and he has made us for a purpose. And when we realize our purpose, everything makes sense. So he made us for him, but not only for him, he made us for a purpose. And I want to touch on that. Jesus came and lived amongst us to show us the way. And then he died for us to open up the way. And then he left us and entrusted us to lead the stray into the way. I'm going to say that Jesus came and lived amongst us to show us the way. Then he died for us to open up the way. And then he left and entrusted us, the church, his body. He entrusted us to lead the stray into the way. I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures. Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8. It says, who, and this is, he showed us the way. This is the scripture, for he showed us the way. Who, though he was in the form of God, Jesus was with God, he was with him in the beginning, he was God, created all things. Though he was in the form of God, listen to this leader, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That would be a good lesson for us. This equality thing, this entitlement. Jesus left his throne room to come down to earth, but emptied himself. There's another key. What do we need to do? Jesus is our leader. We need to follow him. He emptied himself. And I ask you, what are you full of that needs emptying? By taking on the form of a servant. Another key. Emptied, became a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found, wasn't hidden away, didn't keep to himself, didn't put a wall around him, he found, he made sure he was found. He got out there to be found. In human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. even death on a cross. This wasn't just any death. This was a horrific, painful death on the cross. Then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 21. He opened the way. So he showed us the way. Now he opened the way. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Does the love of life, love of Christ control you? Or is something else controlling you? Maybe the love of money or the love of fame or the love of entitlement or the love of acknowledgement. You see, the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this. And guys, this is what I want to say. Today, conclude it. Because if you don't come to the conclusion, you're going to battle in this. So today, settle it in your heart. Conclude that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. I'm reading you scripture. All have died. Me and you, because we've got a purpose that we need to rise up to. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. This is a tough one. But for him. You see, we now live for him. Who, Jesus, for their sake, our sake, died and was raised. You see, he did his bit. There's an exchange. He died for us. He came and lived for us. He died for us so that we can die and live for him. Amen. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. And this is an amazing scripture. Therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Jesus came. He lived amongst us. He's no longer walking this earth. He's died. He's God. Father raised him up. He's seated in heavenly places on the right hand of the Father, with all power and with all authority. And he's spiritual, and he's seated in heaven. And we need to regard him that way. We remember him on the cross. He came and he died for us, but we remember him seated in heaven as he is. Eyes of fire, double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, hair as white as snow, a voice like thunder and lightning. That's how we remember Jesus. And it goes on to say, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You and I are a new creation. We're not of the flesh anymore. We are spiritual just like Jesus. We should not regard each other according to the flesh and according to the natural ways anymore. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And it goes on to say, all this is from God, who through Christ, who is our example, our leader, our teacher, our Lord, reconciled us to himself and gave us, me and you. Jesus entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. So you want to know what your purpose in life is? Do you want to know what you want to do? Do you want to know what fulfills you? Do you want to know what drives you? Do you want to know what energizes you? It's when you take up your call that Jesus has given you. He has given it to us to go and take into this world. Ministers of reconciliation. To reconcile is restoration of friendly relationships. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus has called us a friend. Restoration of friendly relationships. I'm going to have some water now. Reunion. Bringing back together and restoring what was lost. Do you know that it is our job to restore what was lost to the world? And I'm going to touch on that, how that works. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. Where's his body? Here we are. What do we need to do? Go and restore the lost. Those that are lost, bring them into the kingdom. That is our purpose. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who are you? I loved Wayne. You know, I'm not doing this because Wayne's a great man, but he made us repeat certain things because it sits into your mind. We are ambassadors of Christ. Do you know what an ambassador is? I'll read it. An accredited diplomat sent by the state as its permanent representation in a foreign country. We are in a foreign country. We know that. 1 Peter teaches us that we are sionos. This isn't our residence. This isn't our home. We're going back to heaven. We're just journeying through here because we've got a job to do. And it's definitely not to establish anything here on the earth. It's to establish something in the kingdom. Yet we work in here on earth. An ambassador and an accredited diplomat sent by the state. We've been sent from heaven by Jesus Christ as its permanent representation. We are Jesus' permanent representation here on earth in a foreign country. So why do we act like this country, like we belong here? We don't. We're returning home. We're visiting. We're going through. God making his appeal. Listen to this. So we're ambassadors of Christ. God making his appeal directly to people. Yes, he does. But what does this word say? Through us. Where does the world hear about the gospel, about the kingdom? Through us. We implore on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. Here's Jesus, guys. Jesus is an amazing leader. Jesus is the Son of God, but guess what? He has the representation of Jesus to the world, to those that are lost, those that are in darkness. Here we are. Wow. Jesus believes in us. Jesus believes that we will get the mission done. Jesus believes that we will change the world. Jesus believes that you and I can do it. Amen. It's incredible. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. As these are verses, write them down and go home, and we're going to study these because this is what we've been called to do. We are an army, we are a bride, we are building, we are a family, we are all those things, but we need to go and do the work of God. It says, Jesus came. Sorry, this is entrusting us with the way. So I told you he made a way, he showed us the way, and now he's entrusting us with the way. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus has just got authority in heaven. No. Guys, he's got authority on earth. Okay? We just need to claim it, believe it, and take it, and walk in it. All authority has given into him on heaven and on earth. It's only if we don't allow him to move that Satan will illegitimately make ground. And has given... And Jesus come, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he has the handover. You see, Jesus makes a handover. He says, all authority is given to me. And then he hands over to us. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. By how? By preaching, by teaching, by being an example, by living a life that Christ would live, you and I. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Wonderful. So God has commissioned us and he has entrusted us. We don't have to wait for anything. We don't need for an angel to appear before our bed and put a sword on our heads. We just need to believe by faith and go and take this exchange that Jesus has given us and go and change the world for him. Like this general who got positive leaders who believed in the outcome. And that's one of the things. We need to believe what Jesus has started, we will finish. Amen? And we need to be positive about it, and we need to go and activate it. Amazing thing, the difference between that general that I told you in the story, which happened, this general who's handed over this responsibility is very real because it's you and I. You see, we are living in it and we are part of it. And this general called Jesus Christ has done the work for us and he's handed it over to us. You see, that story I told you was a story, but this that I'm telling you now involves you and I. This is like a call to say, Jesus has given us a plan. There's a battle to do. There's a work to do, and we need to go and do it. The other day, I met someone that Thor and I are getting to know, and he's got a brother and they're both battling. But the brother is battling more than him, and his brother has basically, like he put it, has fallen off the wagon, and he's drinking, and he's got a business, and he's failing, and he doesn't get up in the mornings, and he's just not doing well. And he says, "But what I'm doing is I'm ministering to him." So I said, "Well, that's great." And he was sitting opposite the table. So I said, "You know, how are you ministering to him? What are you doing?" So he said, "Well, you know, I'm telling him about Jesus." And you know, and I was looking at him and I thought, sure, okay, he's telling him about Jesus, but it looks like this guy in front of me needs Jesus, you know. But that's fine. I mean, he's doing a work. He's doing something. And he's telling his brother about Jesus. And I said, "So, and what else?" He says, "No, well, I'm praying for him, and I'm telling him, like I've been telling you, Jesus loves you." And I said, "Well, that's great. And how's your brother doing?" He says, "No, his brother says, you know, I don't know about this Jesus because I do not see him." Where is this Jesus? So you see, we sometimes minister to people when we want Jesus to move in somebody's life, but sometimes Jesus needs a body to work through. You see, I have a spirit in me, but this spirit needs a body to move around so that it can witness. You see, I have spirits and you have a spirit, but it needs a body. And Jesus Christ is in heaven and he's in spirit form, but for in order for him to do the work, he needs a body. And we are the body. We're doing the work. And when people say we don't see Jesus, it means they're not seeing us representing Jesus in the way that he's supposed to be represented as ambassadors of Christ. And that reminds me is when the disciples, Philip, in 1 John 14:8 says, "Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us." Isn't it like the world saying, "Show us Jesus and it's enough for us"? Show us Jesus. The disciple said, "Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" You see, this is an amazing story, but I think the world is saying, "Show us Jesus." And as Christians and as the church and as the body of Christ, surely we should be saying to the world, "Have we been with you so long? If you have seen us, you have seen Jesus." Because Jesus left us here to be his body. And we are his representation. We are his body. And we often just pray for Jesus, "Show yourself to this person." But what Jesus is saying is, "But you are my body. You are my representation. You are Christ to that person." Colossians 1:15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." And that's why he could say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But you see, word, and we can look into that teaching sometime and maybe go have a look at it. But the word says that we have been created in God's image. We, the church. And that Christ has been formed in us. And that we are new creations. Therefore, we are the image of Christ. We've got a remarkable responsibility to go and do the work of Christ in this world. To empty ourselves, to serve, to take on Christ, and to do the work that he has given us. You see, the Father sent his Son into this world. And then the Son sent us into the world. The Father sent the Son into this world. And he came and did a work, and he fulfilled it, and he completed it. But then he sent us into the world. Ephesians 4:11-13 says, "And he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints," you and I, "for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To what? To mature manhood. And what's the measure? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here's a general that's come along. He sees the work that is needed. He comes and prepares the way, defeats, destroys, disarms the enemy for us, entrusts us, and then goes and says, now go finish the battle. Go and fulfill what I've started, and I will return when it is done. You and I, the body of Jesus Christ. Are we about the Father's work as Jesus was about doing? Are people finding us? Come here, are you going there? There's a party happening. There's a, yes, there's times to have fun. But are we saying, didn't you know that I've got to be about my Father's work? I've got a purpose. I've been called and I need to rise up to it. John 7, 16. They, me and you, this is Jesus. He was speaking to the Father about you and I. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Can you see that Jesus identifies you and me with him? He identifies us with him, not with the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We've been commissioned by God to go into this world. And Jesus did an amazing job. And he's relying on us to do an amazing job. He's empowered us and he's equipped us to go into the world. We've been sent. We've got a duty. We've got an obligation. If we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, we need to go into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself. For their sake. What does it say? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I tell you, if you and I get this right, for the joy set before us, we will endure all things and win souls for the kingdom and reconcile people to the Father. Ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of the kingdom. So if the world wants to see Christ, can we say, look at me and you will see Christ? Because that's what it's all about, guys. Are they seeing Christ? We are the light to the world. We are ambassadors of the kingdoms. Jesus believes in us. I'm just going to go through 7 points quickly that are going to help us. So if we've been entrusted with this huge but wonderful responsibility, we would do good to follow our leader, Jesus Christ, and to learn from him. And to watch his footsteps, like a disciple follows a rabbi covered in his dust, we should be following Jesus and watching his every footstep so that we can learn from a great leader so that we can become great leaders in order to make great leaders. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for. We, our relationship and belief in him, all things are through faith. The assurance of things hoped for. We are assured of things hoped for. Or should I say, are we assured of the things that we're hoping for? Do you still believe in everything that Jesus has told you, in everything that you read in the Word, in everything that is recorded in the Scriptures? Do we believe it and waiting for the fulfillment? It. Because our assurance, and when the world sees that we are assured of it and that we are sure of what the outcome is going to be, guess what? It says it's the evidence of things not seen. You see, our assurance in the hope is the world's evidence of things not seen. They will believe in Christ through us. So I'm just going to touch now quickly on 7 priorities, and I can't go fully into them, so I think it would be good to for life group leaders in there to write down these 7 priorities that Jesus prioritized his life to. If you look through the 4 Gospels, these are just 7. There's so many more. But he has 7 priorities that will help us fulfill the call that Jesus has given us and will help others to fulfill their call. And it will be a good study to go through each one. Here are the 7 priorities. They guided Jesus, and they ought to guide us. You see, 1 Peter 2:21 says that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He's our example, follow in his steps. And do you remember those bracelets that we had that started off a long time ago? Some college students started off this thing, what would Jesus do? You remember we had those bangles? And it would remind us that if we came to like a hypothetical situation, we would say, well, what would Jesus do? And they're wonderful, and it's good to have it because it's good to say, what would Jesus do? The thing is, we know what Jesus did, you see? And we need to know what did Jesus actually do. So what did Jesus do? One, he sought the Father. That needs to be a priority in our life, is to seek the Father. We hear of Jesus, it's just right through all four Gospels, just 45 times that you can just pick up quickly, but there's more than that, where he goes away and prays to the Father. So we need to sought the Father. We need every aspect of our life needs to be saturated in prayer. You see, every aspect of Jesus' life was first saturated in prayer, and then he went out of the strength of that. There were people who needed his needs, who were calling on him, and he went without sleep. He went without food. But one thing he never went out with was going to spend time with his Father. He prioritized that. Often, you'd find him leaving the people and going to the Father. So one, he sought the Father. Two, he embraced the outcasts. I think the society that we live in asks us to hang out with the popular guys, with the best guys, with the successful guys, the people that are going to make us great, make us look great. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He hung out with the outcasts. Jesus didn't come for the sick, for the well. He came for the sick. Who are we hanging out with? I think sometimes most of my friends are well. They don't really need Jesus. I need to find some sick people to witness to. In Luke 5, he meets a tax collector called Levi, who we know becomes Matthew. A tax collector, people would not even go into their houses. They would be regarded what we would regard a pump or somebody that crawls from under a rock. People would not associate with Matthew. Jesus went and ate in his house, and guess what? He made him a disciple. Outcasts. People that others have written off. And sometimes we, as the body of Christ, write off the very people that Jesus wants to get to and change their lives. Three, he restored broken lives. You and I need to be restoring broken lives. Physical, financial. He cast out demons. He healed broken bodies. He raised the dead. He forgave their sins. He went to the guilty and set the chains free. He took guilt and condemnation out of their lives and introduced them to the Father. Four, and this is a big one, he confronted hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Just quickly, hypocrisy, a situation in which someone pretends to believe something they do not really believe. Or that is opposite to what they do and say in another time. So I can preach the gospel here, but it's really in the dark situations when I'm alone in my room and when no one has seen me that really counts. Because that's where God sees who I really am. You see, God is watching us. The world is watching us. The spiritual forces are watching us. We are never alone. So what we do in those dark places when we're all alone is really the test of who we are. My worth to God publicly is measured by what I really do in my private life. Five, he taught God's word. He taught it to the multitudes. He taught it to the small committed crowds, and he taught it one-on-one. So we need to be delving in the word. We need to be saturating the word. We need to get to know the word so that we can teach the word. When I was with little Carter, putting my hand on him, and I was asking God, why do you love him? It was scriptures that came into my mind that he showed me how much he loves me, how much he loves Carter, that I'm created by him and for him. Get into the word, underline the word, Read your commentaries. Why? So that you can preach the word. He taught the word. If Jesus taught the word, we taught the word. 6, he served. He sacrificed himself. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Okay? He washed the disciples' feet as a sign of what we should do. He said, go and do likewise. To wash somebody's feet in those days was the lowest of the lowest of the servant's job. Yet Jesus did it. If Jesus can do it, we can do it. We are no greater than our master. And 7, he equipped leaders. He equipped leaders. And what I want to say is, he equipped his disciples to become leaders. Jesus is creating each and every single one of us to be a leader, to go out to do his work and to make other leaders, to raise them up so that they can go do the work of ministry. So we're going to pray now. I want us just to settle in, think about it. This is a call. We read great stories where people have been commissioned to go out and to do the work of Jesus. Well, this is our time where we can say, I can rise up to do the work that Jesus has given me to do because he trusts in me and he's equipped me to do it. You and I are his body that changes the world. So you need to prepare yourself. You need to position yourself. And then you need to purpose yourself because Jesus believes in you. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus knows us personally, that he loves us personally, that he has equipped us personally, and he has personally given us a job to do that will change people's lives, that will change the world, and will prepare for his return. Father, may we just get that revelation of how important this is. May we be able to empty ourselves of everything else. Yes, Lord, we still go to work. We still attend to our families. We still do the things we do, but we do it differently. You come first. You are God, and you are equipping us for all things. I thank you that you are a great general that has given us the power and the authority to do your work. Lord, may we understand that we are your body for your spirit to fill in order to do the work. You could come and you could do the work, but you've chosen us because we're capable and because you believe in us. And Father, we want to declare that we believe in you. We believe in you, Lord Jesus. We believe that you will fulfill everything. We have a hope that he's going to rise us up and bring joy into our hearts. That we say what you started, we are capable of finishing with you, with your power, and with the authority that you've given us. And when we understand that, we'll start seeing you move in powerful ways like we've never seen before. So may we rise up to the call. Lord Jesus, touch each and every single one of us as we commit ourselves to you, as we say we are changed. Here we are. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So join us, please, afterwards. We got coffee.